Jessica scoured the manifests of each arriving guild ship, hoping that some visitor would arrive with a message from the Bene Gesserit, but she felt her hopes slipping as time passed. If Paul had indeed left voluntarily, she could not grasp why. Paul wasn't a flighty, impulsive boy, and running off with Bronze Avernius didn't make sense. Finally, an officious but poorly dressed man arrived to see Lady Jessica, handing her a sealed message cylinder.
"I was told to deliver this to you."
He shuffled his feet, tugged at his sleeves.
"There was some discussion of a reward for service."
After she paid the man and sent him away, Jessica activated the opening mechanism. Hope began to build in her heart. Mohiam had written a terse, impersonal message in one of the numerous Bene Gesserit codes. The answer was not an admission of failure, nor an expression of knowledge about the boys, or lack of it. Instead, she attacked Jessica for her concerns. The blunt sentences oozed with a surprising bitterness.
"Why worry so much about this boy child whom you never should have conceived in the first place? If he is gone, then he is gone. Now you can concentrate on your duty to the sisterhood. This is your chance for redemption. Go back to your duke and bear us the daughter we have always demanded of you. Your purpose is to serve the sisterhood."
As Jessica read and reread the message, she felt the sting of tears, then a burn of shame that she would allow the old woman's curt response to affect her so. She had been taught better than this, by Mohiam herself. With great force of will, she blocked off her emotions. "As for the condition of Tessie Avernius," the Reverend Mother added as a postscript, "she has never been any concern of yours. Remember your place for once. She is in safe hands in the Mother School." It was not just the logic, but the venom that made her reel. Yes, Jessica had been told to bear a daughter by Duke Leto, but after the death of little Victor in the Skyclipper crash, Leto had been crippled by grief, paralyzed by the loss. Out of her sheer love for him, Jessica had let herself conceive a son instead of a daughter. The Bene Gesserits, and Mohiam in particular, were appalled by Jessica's disobedience. Now they felt the need to punish her. They would always need to punish her. And Paul would have to pay the price. She knew now that the Bene Gesserits, even with all of their resources and information, would never offer assistance in this matter. Jessica tried to tear the message into pieces, but the Instroy paper was too durable. Frustrated, she crumpled it up and fed it into an Ixian incinerator, watching her private hopes for a quick resolution vanish in the flames. Help would have to come from another quarter. Seasoned guildsmen avoided setting foot on solid ground, claiming that gravity unsettled them. When a guild official presented himself to Romber Vernius in the Grand Palais, accompanied by two silent and unnaturally large companions, Jessica was both intrigued and wary. All three men wore gray uniforms with the infinity symbol of the guild on the lapels. The hairless lead representative seemed displeased by the riotous work in all the bustling factories filling the cavern floor, as if he preferred activities to be more controlled. He took small, shuffling steps, as though unfamiliar with the weight of his own body. Romber strode forward.
"You come with word of my son? And Paul?"
The man regarded him with oddly unfocused eyes.
"The Spacing Guild is aware of your situation. We have located Paul Atreides and Bronzo Vernius."
Jessica felt sudden relief after so many days of uncertainty.
"They're alive and safe."
"At last report." The man's aloof demeanor signaled either disdain for the two noblemen or simply a lack of social skills. They stowed aboard a highliner and posed as workers amongst the Waku. But they were careless, and we caught them.
Jessica let out an audible sigh of relief, but later remained suspicious.
So where are they? Are you returning them to us?
The guildsman blinked in confusion. His two burly companions remained silent, staring straight ahead.
We did not come here for that purpose. We came to collect the fee for their passage. Your sons traveled great distances without paying for transport. House Atreides and House Vernius owe the Spacing Guild a significant sum.
In a tone of disgust, Leto muttered a curse. Jessica pressed,
"Will you at least tell us where the boys are?"
"I do not have that knowledge."
"Vermilion hells, you already said you caught the boys."
Romber took an ominous step forward, but the two muscular companions did not flinch.
"The boys were put off ship, according to guild policy, at one of our stops."
"Which stop?"
Leto was growing more and more exasperated.
"We pride ourselves on confidentiality and do not discuss the movements of our passengers."
Leto called his bluff.
"In that case, we have no proof of their travels, and we refuse to pay for their passage."
The guildsman was startled.
"Those are separate matters."
"To you, perhaps, but not to me. Tell me where my son is if you want to be paid."
The representative deferred to his massive companions, who consulted each other in quiet tones before nodding. Jessica wondered who was really in charge.
"Payment first," the man said.
"No, location first," Romber countered.
Leto fumed.
"Enough of this. House Atreides guarantees payment to the guild. If you tell us what we need to know, I'll release the Solaris immediately."
The representative gave the slightest bow.
"Very well. Bronzo Vernius and Paul Atreides were granted sanctuary among a jongleur troop that disembarked on Chusik 4 days ago.